Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, with his breakfast still in his mouth, here's David.
Hello, Charlottesville. How you doing? I gotta keep it low. I can't do my usual boisterous introduction because there was a sleeping baby in our studio. Courtesy of our co-host.
I told you to stop calling me that.
No, Clinton, you are the baby that never sleeps. Oh. Clinton Johnson, executive producer, HNIC of Homegrown Productions. Hi. If you're just tuning in, you're not going crazy. This is Homegrown. And my phone is just going on all of a sudden. My phone's just talking. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Little guy, hairy feet, trying to get through the darkness. Hashtag Trump's America. we know about all the, you know, corruption. We know all about the crimes. We know all about Cohen. I know about alliteration. I try to keep it smooth. Let's not talk about this guy. Because that's what he wants. Let's just keep it local. Brackney's passing down this new kind of pledge to transparency.
Yeah.
In the
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I sound nonplussed?
That sarcastic groan was brought to you by the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones. Always and forever, my workmate. Apparently, Mike Murphy said it exceeded the expectations and of the department. And
I'm sorry, but we need to put that in perspective. Exactly. Were the expectations
in the police's eye, zero. we don't want to talk about nothing, but the public was like, we got to hear something. But I mean, it's relatively deep what they're talking about. They're talking about internal affairs investigations that have been taking place or either on. In the line of court now, so that people can take part in that process. It's on the website. Apparently, it's up. You can go through all of the nitty gritty on there.
Am I gonna have to like steal myself to go through this? Like, I mean, is it one of those things where it's I'm like after reading it, I'm gonna want to call in black?
Well, I think it's like the fine print of the warranty. It's like if we make it long and tedious enough, then people won't want to read it.
Right.
So I think it's one of those types of things. But I think you got to keep yourself informed. I gotta you gotta read up on things. So plug into your community. Literally, it's on the it's on the CPD website, so check it out. If you see any typos, just hit up Brackney on the Instagram. YOURE.
Apostrophes.
Apostrophes, baby. But
she needs to learn to use commas.
Not Oxford commas. But let's move on. Are we going to our guest right here? All right. Well, let's just do it. Let's do it. We got him here right now. Hey. This is Brad Stoller.
Hey, hey.
We were
Raphael.
Going to our guest right here. Did you not see me turn to him and say, are we going to our guest right now?
Oh.
And I said, there's no guest right here. There's a screen right here.
Oh, boy.
That's not a person.
Boys. We're going to go to our
Raphael,
recorded guest first.
A scarful Yari. Was that good?
All right, here we are with our first guest, Rafael Esquieri. Did I pronounce that? Was I close?
That's close. Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Welcome to Homegrown.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. So you are Guitar Charlottesville.
Yes. Right? Yes. So I run that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Guitar Charlottesville.
Well, it's a project that I have of just sharing classical guitar music in Charlottesville, sharing music that I compose and also my concerts, and also inviting other guests playing their music here in town.
That's great. That's great. How long has Guitar Charlottesville been going on?
About a little bit more than 2 years, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've done already 2 guitar festivals and competitions, and we've brought people from different states and top universities competing in the classical guitar competition. And also during the year we do concerts. Like, it's not only the guitar festival and competition, but we do almost monthly a guitar concert.
This is amazing to me that you guys could have been going on for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't have, I mean, how is it that I didn't have a good understanding of who you guys were and what it was? Because I've seen, because we pay attention to what's going on in town, at least we try to. And I've noticed the guitar festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed the concerts.
Okay.
But I've never really hooked into that there was one group behind it.
Oh, I see. Well, everything has to do with budget, I think.
Yeah.
If I have some money set apart, then I would advertise as much as I can. But since it is a low budget, mainly myself doing everything, then I just send the information to the papers in town and all the websites with the calendars online. And then all guitar teachers and students that I know of, and I send mass email, gathering emails from people who I think music and the culture, you see, and so on. So this is actually what I do. That's it. Facebook, also the website, which is guitarcharlottesville.com. Yeah.
So what motivated you to start this? Why classical guitar?
Well, I've been in Charlottesville since 2008, and I'm a professional classical guitarist. So
a professional classical guitarist find his way to Charlottesville?
Well, usually has to do with somebody else bringing you.
Right.
In this
case,
it was my wife. Yeah.
That's the Charlottesville story.
Yeah. My wife brought me here, so, and I love her, so I'm here. Yeah.
So you're well, I'm a classical guitarist, and this is Charlottesville. What do I do now?
Yes.
That's great. So, could I ask you something about classical guitar? I've tried playing guitar. I've tried playing, but it's mostly really, really basic folk guitar. And classical guitar has always seemed to me to be a magic trick. It is seems so complicated and so intricate. It seems that in order to be able to get the level of mastery to do something like classical guitar, it has to be something that you're passionate about. And at the same time, the stereotype of classical music, or at least that I'm familiar with, is that it's kind of dispassionate. Can you speak to that juxtaposition?
Mm-hmm. Well, the classical guitar training is just like any other classical instruments, like piano, violin. It's been a tradition of many centuries. In fact, since the Renaissance, we had the first classical guitar in the Renaissance, in the 1500s. And we have guitar music from that period written. So we actually can play Renaissance music for guitar. And then after that,
people can still read the notation?
Yes, it's actually the Renaissance guitar was a very small guitar, just like an ukulele.
Kind of.
And had not four strings, but four courses, which is like two strings per course. Uh-huh. So it's just it's like ukulele with four strings and then double. It's kind of that. And they wrote the music like modern tap, actually. Like you see like six strings representing the guitar strings and then the numbers representing the frets. So they wrote it like that.
Yeah,
in Italy, France, in Spain, they wrote it with numbers like that. In Germany, they wrote it with letters.
Did they have a way to indicate the time scheme?
Yes, they had it, yeah. Which is just the same way, like two beams, three beams, one beam, see, like in modern notation. Yeah, on the top of the numbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we play that music, actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then the following centuries, see, coming with the Baroque, the classical period, Romantic, and modern. Then the guitar actually had evolution, you see. Uh-huh. And we got this modern guitar in the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Is it true to say that guitar has its own area of classical music? I mean, because if you... I know that if somebody says to me classical music,
yeah, yeah,
I'm thinking, oh, Mozart. I'm thinking mm-hmm. Bach. I'm thinking keyboardists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those composers didn't write for guitar because during that time the guitar was not as famous as piano or violin. So and they also were pianists and mostly. So we have. During Beethoven's period, Mozart, we had actually composers, guitarists who wrote for the guitar. Mm-hmm. And for instance, Giuliani in Italy, he actually played the double bass, I think, or the cello, I forgot, in one of the Beethoven's orchestras in that time. And he was a virtuoso guitarist. And the guitar is just like, we play the melody, the accompaniment, the bass at the same time, just like the piano. See, so it sounds just like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you have a piece to play for us?
Yes. I can play one piece. Let me begin first with one composition that I have myself.
So this is your own composition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Escoffier. We're going to do a drop. We'll be right back. 14 minutes past the hour. At least I think it should be 14 minutes past the hour.
It's actually 17 minutes past the hour.
And you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is dedicated to local art. We're here with Rafael Escoffiere from Guitar Charlottesville. So tell me about the piece that you just played.
Yeah, this is a movement from a suite for guitar, and I call it Love Suite. It's just five movements, and this is the third movement.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I didn't plan for this interview to be okay. a confrontation of my stereotypes with mm-hmm. classical music, but okay. I guess I'm just working through my classical music.
I see. Okay.
So, again, another stereotype that I have when I think of classical music mm-hmm. is something that's old.
Oh, I see.
So, what does it mean to compose in a classical style?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for when you compose a piece?
Well, we have so many throughout the ages. You see, music composition changes. So, like for instance, the one I played right now was my composition, but it is actually the style of the composers from the early 20th century, like Debussy. You see, the Impressionism. Mm.
So I can hear that. Yeah.
So it was kind of that style because I used harmonies just like that, you see, in the melodies and so on. But like nowadays, like modern composers, since they have actually all the experience going through so many different periods, they can choose to mix them together or do something else, or mix them with pop music or folk or whatever, you see, jazz. Nowadays, it's just look. Just like anything you want to do, even like noise is music in classical music, because we had a movement and one of the most famous composers from that movement was John Cage, and he just mm-hmm. played with movements with sounds uh-huh. and. He actually was very important in promoting that style of music in classical music. So we do anything, actually, just anything.
I know that with some modern pianists, they do, what are they called, constructed pianos or adjusted pianos, where they do things like they put staves in between.
Yes. The... Yeah, and he was one of the people, he didn't start it, but he was one of the people who promoted that a lot. So they call it prepared piano.
Right.
So
is there anything like that for guitar? Does anybody ever experiment with
prepared
guitars?
We do it. I don't compose that much music because I love just traditional sounds and so on. But there are guitar composers who use that a lot. Yeah. You can go to YouTube and see. It's actually great.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So you've got a recital coming up.
Yes, this coming Friday. At March 15 at 7 p.m. at The Haven in downtown.
Excellent. Do you want to play your second piece of music?
Yes, I will play now. Since I am Dominican and our neighbors are from Haitians, so I arranged this song, which is very beautiful, and I play it on the guitar.
Okay. Is Sous le ciel d'Haïti.
Yeah, Sous le ciel d'Haïti. So it means under Haiti's heavens.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Rafael Escoffiere on Homegrown. Sucia Daiti. Mm-hmm. You're yes. homegrown. Raphael. So the recital that you have coming up mm-hmm. is what type of pieces are you playing for that?
So I'm playing actually almost all the music is music from Latin America because I'm Hispanic. And I'll play also this piece and maybe another one from Haiti because I played actually last year. I played one of the recitals was actually all full of Haitian music.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I loved doing that. Yeah.
How am I missing these recitals?
Yeah. Well, this was during the time that we had the famous mention for like shitless like countries like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just wanted to make a point that that is just a beautiful country and beautiful music, beautiful people. Haiti is just a beautiful country, and I'm planning to do another recital letter of Central American music just to make that point also that there are beautiful people and beautiful culture also.
Yeah, you know, it's I mean, it feels so much like here in this culture that art is dismissed and sometimes debased, but one of the great ways to celebrate a culture, one of the great mm-hmm. ways to understand a culture and to appreciate a culture is through the art that it produces.
Yes, of course, yeah. And if you really want to get to know people from different countries, get to know their culture, listen to their music, listen to their art, their poems, their literature. And don't be afraid because people who come to this country, actually, most of them are good people. And they love helping. They love sharing good things that they have. So, yeah, don't be afraid of that. I get to know, actually, the fear is actually taken away by getting to know people, actually.
Awesome. Raphael, thank you so much for coming on Homegrown.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Raphael Escoffieri, guitar, Charlottesville. Please remind people when and where for the upcoming recital.
Yes, so March 15, Friday, March 15 at 7 p.m. at the Haven downtown. It's just by the downtown mall.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much, Raphael.
Thanks to you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm ready. All right, Homegrown Radio, Raphael Escoffieri. Escoffieri? Did I get it right? Of course I didn't get it right. No, this is Latin guitar, y'all. Latin guitar. It's a step above guitar. Me and Clinton are both guitarists. I've kind of fallen off of the wayside for a little bit. Gotta get my chops back up. Clinton still hits it every now and then. It's another level, I would say. You play guitar and then you play bar chords and then you play a little bit of finger picking and then you know how to solo and then maybe you can face melt a little and then you graduate to nylon strings and then it's a whole new world. And then you fly on a magic carpet of seduction of every possible nationality. But are we turning to are we doing artistic events?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Like every other show. See, this is what throws me off because I can't see the first person. So
it's okay.
I'm like, what are we doing?
It's okay, David.
Everything is crazy.
We still love you.
Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running now through April 13th, the American Shakespeare Center's features. It's 2019 American Actors Renaissance Season featuring Henry IV. Pitching part one and The Merry Wives of Windsor by Shakespeare and page H fun
Shakespeare
Ordinal Faversham at the Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. Currently running now, check out these art exhibits. Lee Christmas Halstead shows her waterscapes at the Charlottesville Writer House. Susan Patrick shows her watercolors and multimedia drawings in debris at New Dominion Bookshop. Photographer turned painter Cassandra Clausen presents her exhibit, Flow, at VMDO Architects, and Pete Murphy, Pete Morris's acrylic painting show, Northern Neck Nature, shows at Top Knot Studio. All that is going down in your neighborhood. Check it out. Currently running now through March 13th. The Wolves.
30th.
Why did I say 13th? My mind is crazy. The 30th. Because, yeah, the Wolves at Live Arts. It's going to be a monster. Yeah. Y'all know what Live Arts does. March 12th, the Fralin Art Museum offers Babes in Artland for adult caregivers of infants 18 months and younger. Bring your baby, like that baby, to join fellow parents for lively conversations about works of art. March 13th, the Writer House presents an open house of readings from their winter class takers. March 14th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. Some of y'all need to look inward. Y'all need to think about what y'all did. March 15th through March 23rd. I'm just saying. Some of y'all got some thinking about. I'm just saying. Somebody got some. DMR Adventures presents Sherlock's.
Sherlock's. What?
There's a parentheses between the S. A collection of three short plays adapted for young performers from three classic Sherlock Holmes stories by former guests Miller, Murray, Susan. She's awesome.
Susan.
Her name is not Susan. It's Susan. March 15th through April 14th. Whitney, y'all. Hey, hello, Dolly, yeah. At Fort County Players. Brad's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. March 16th, artist Sharon Shapiro opens her Louisa studio, LCVA, baby, from 1 to 4. And March 16th, Big Blue Door does improv at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. And for your music options this week,
Jim Wave plays jazz at the Batesville Market. Patrick and Aaron Olwell and friends at Albemarle Ciderworks. Jim Ray plays jazz at Batesville Market. Patrick and Aaron Olwell and friends at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. Well,
it's hard work.
The thing
radio
was moving as I'm talking. Come to UVA's Capitol Hall to hear Virginia Consort Festival Chorus sings Bernstein's Chichester Psalms and Handel's Messiah, reorchestrated by Mozart. Ooh. Wow. I wonder how Handel felt about that. Anyway, today...
He could handle it.
Mozart said, I can remix this.
Who knew? No one knew.
Is the remix to the Messiah?
No, R. Kelly references right now.
No R. Kelly references.
No.
Those are banned.
No.
Oh, my God. Today, Matthew O'Donnell at James River Brewery at 4 p.m.
Well, we don't want to be revisionists. We don't want to be book burning here.
Tonight,
live with our mistakes.
The Albemarle High School Jazz Band presents Swing into Spring, a benefit concert to raise funds to take them to the Swing Central Jazz Competition in Savannah, Georgia at the Jefferson Theater at 8 p.m. Tonight, Onyx Manor at Rapture. On the 12th, Brady Earnhardt returns with his open mic night at the Uncovered Showcase at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also on the 12th, Louise Smith and Friends at Fellini's. On the 13th, from Bluegrass Band. Yeah, from Bluegrass. That's the name of the band?
Gallatin?
No. Bluegrass band Gallatin
Canyon. Oh, okay. It's a bluegrass band called Gallatin Canyon. All right. Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby play the Whiskey Jar. It all makes sense. On the 13th, Junior's Last Stand at Dirty Nelly's. The 14th, get your bluegrass and old time fix with the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. Powerhouse Aaron Lunsford sings at Glasshouse Winery. Singer-songwriter Caleb Saint plays the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Tanya Ray and the T-Ray Band at Rapture, all on the 14th. On the 15th, catch Bluegrass Trio Clem Hernandez and Wilson at the Glasshouse Winery. Bob and Carolyn at the Rockfish Valley Community Center. Susan Munson and Mojo at Dirty Nelly's. Hey, Susan. Chamomile and Whiskey plays St. Patrick's Day concert at the Jefferson Theater with Trees on Fire and Harrisonburg's Strong Water. Catch the hard rock punk cover band Gorilla Radio. Now that's a cool band name. At Holly's Diner.
Bridge Against Machine reference.
On the 16th, the Oratorio Society of Virginia. Oh, that sounds very posh. The Oratorio Society of Virginia presents the Rutter and the Royals. Yes, a community singing of John Rutter's Requiem.
I will not get out of bed, but only for Requiems.
Oh, Willie D.E. at Umrah Cyberworks. Dusty Hedgehog plays Wayland's Crossing Tavern. The Gladstones at Dirty Nellies. One Hand Clapping at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. DJ Tova at Rapture, all on the 16th. Every Sunday, we have Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Yoma Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Meddy Metcalf at the Bebadero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Songwriter Night at the Local.
That's all Monday.
Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero, baby. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar and the Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, Bachata Fusion at the X Art Park. The Mike Krasinski and Jeff Tucker Quartet at Miller's. Every Wednesday and Thursday. Oh, my. Josh Mayo's Open Mic Night at 1221 Market Street. Every Thursday, Humberto Sales and Vincent Zorn do Gypsy Rumba at the Bebadero. And every Thursday, John Dearth at Miller's. All right.
That is just some, but not all of the artistic events going on in your Charlottesville. Hang tight. We're going to be back with Brad Stoller. This is Homegrown. Cheer up!
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chris Allen. You're listening to Homegrown. This is 94.7.
There was some drool.
Drool's a good thing.
It's there was like some drool. Yeah.
35 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Got it on baby cam right here. Ty is sitting in the studio. Special guest. Just yapping away. He won't shut up. You know.
He was earlier.
Even more special guest, Brad Stoller, is in the house. Mm-hmm. He is a dramatist.
Ooh.
Which means that there's a
that sounds very bougie as well.
There's he's a dramatist. He is not a director. He is not a dramatist. He's my executive professor emeritus.
He's more than dramatist. An actor, you know.
Or less.
Oh my god.
Am I not yet?
Yeah.
I want to talk this way.
Stop breaking all right. The things.
Oh,
just wanking about.
Theater of the Oppressed Workshop with Matthew Slatz. That's what he's about. The Viral Dickinson Building, Piedmont Virginia Community College, going down March 11th. Brad.
Yeah.
You also run this whole theater thing at the PVC.
I do run the whole theater thing at the PVC.
Oh, wow. What's that about?
How's that going? PVC and then we... It's just a plastic pipe.
It is. It is a beautiful theater, sir.
It is a gorgeous.
I will say you are. I'm jealous of the facilities that you have at your disposal.
Thank you.
Continue. It's not a question, really. It's kind of like I hate your ballpark, basically.
Right.
Just hating on you. Just drinking the hater in. But no. I've heard of the Theater of the Oppressed workshop in differing facets because it's a national thing. Yes, no, Clinton. Why are you sulking in your chair?
It's an international thing.
Talk about it.
So Augusto Boal, who was a Brazilian theater artist, began this whole work back in the '60s when he was doing kind of advisory political protest type of things, mm-hmm. and discovered that the people he was working to advance out of oppression were taking his advice in the wrong way, because all theatrical advice at that time was basically overthrow the people in power with force. And when they said, oh, we got it. We're going to go up there on the top of the hill and shoot the SOBs that are up there. They went, no, this was just metaphorical. Yeah. We're doing theater here.
Theater.
And they said, no, we saw what you were doing, and you have guns on stage, and we have guns. Let's go up there and kill them. And he said, these are actually play guns. Mm-hmm. They don't work. They said, that's okay. We have some real ones. Here you go. And then he said, we're not willing to do this, and we're not willing to let you do this and get yourselves killed.
Right.
Let's step back. And so they stepped back, literally, and started looking to their audience, to the people that they were working with, and saying, you tell us how to succeed at this oppression. We're going to put on plays. We're going to ask you to come in, step in, and take the place of the protagonist, take over who is who has skin in the game, as you might say, and try different strategies to overcome your oppression. And that's how it all started, with people coming out of the audience, literally taking on the role of the actor and trying to overcome oppression. And then there's been many, many ways in which they've used that. But that was the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, never again will I advise people to do something I'm not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, solidarity of a sort.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
March 11th.
March 11th.
Why only once?
But from 10 to 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Take off from work.
Why only once?
Why only once? Well, we do it every year. Mm-hmm. We'll do it again next spring. And people can get involved and do it in more ways. It's just kind of an introductory thing. Here, get involved. Matt Slatz, myself, and my wife, Mecca Burns, have been doing this for years and years.
So how have you modified what Boal did for your workshop? What can people expect in the workshop?
What people can expect in the workshop is to go through what he calls games for actors and non-actors. We get lively. We get into the work itself by actually playing games, finding out how you as a activist, if you're an activist or just a performer, can get involved through a playful means. Boal was the most playful person I've almost ever met. He was this incredibly wonderful Brazilian man who just knew how to encourage everyone to have a good time and play on serious matters. He's like, no, we're not going to get serious with serious matters. We're going to be playful. We're going to find our way into this and find our way into a biological sense of safety, because that's what play creates. Play creates a biological safety in our organisms that then we can, our thinking gets sparked, and we can now engage with each other on serious subjects.
And so is the workshop free?
The workshop is free.
Cool.
You just need to show up at this point, because registering, which I asked to happen ahead of time, has happened, but we have more room. So don't worry. We got a big theater, beautiful theater, as they said.
Cool.
Yeah.
So other than games, what else is the workshop entail?
So after the games that we play, we get involved with issues. What are the issues that you, and it always comes from the group itself, what are the issues that you want to deal with and look at? And a lot of those are introspective in a way. It's like, what are the problems you have in dealing with the types of situations and where you feel that there is unfairness going on? It's oppression, is some kind of unfairness, which we all experience. And we look at it through a lot of nonverbal means, but we get into verbal means as well. Theatrical stuff involves the nonverbal and the verbal together. And so we look at it, we create forms in which people can see things that they don't maybe normally see because they're involved in just the verbal aspect of things.
That sounds like it could be a messy process at times.
It's really messy and fun. I think all art at its best is messy.
I'm saying more now. Yeah. Like, really. Like, because we've become, since the inception of Fox News, like, post, like, 1999, I would say, like, we've become more polarized in the way that we look at what is our idea of oppression.
Yes.
And you have a lot of straight white men that believe that they are oppressed. And to some extent, this is true. There is some idea of, like, you know, downtroddenness, you might say. You might say they're having their moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everybody feels a certain sense, and I believe that our idea of oppression has changed for some people in the now rather than what it was back in the 60s. So
I think it's being redefined. Right?
Right.
And it's being redefined. The problem is there are two very different camps trying to redefine it. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have white men who are in power trying to define it as, oh, well, you're asking me to change. You're oppressing me. And you have everyone else going, no, no, no. You put systems in place to make sure
I
couldn't.
And it gets deeper than that. You have to go into the gay community where it feels like the straight community is oppressing them. You have to talk about the trans community as well. You have to talk about disabled men. You have to talk about all of these situations where sex and ideas are...
So I'd like to jump in here and say...
Please do.
What we do is we concretize these things through visual forms and metaphors so that you get to see what's going on in people's experience rather than just using words and talking about it. So we actually limit things. It's like, let's take away words for a while and let's visualize and see and concretize it so that we can see what you're thinking about, and that your thinking gets out of your head and into the space, and then sound gets involved, because sound is really where you guys are doing radio. It's really how we speak and the intonation and everything, and then words are kind of like the last thing, and people, if they've been kind of evolutionarily brought up through movement and visual space and sound, then the words come out more organic and people can hear them better. That's generally what happens.
Okay. Well, we're going to do a drop. We're going to come back with Brad Stoller because I'm really intrigued about this, and I really want to get down more into the nitty-gritty of what this entails. Theater of the Oppressed, this is Homegrown. Drop!
This is Leah Calvani. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
Something I was supposed to 36 minutes 46 minutes past the hour. You have just turned into the beautiful train wreck that is known as Homegrown 94.7 WPVC.
Hey,
I just want to highlight something.
I resemble that remark.
I want to just highlight something.
Okay.
We Brad Stoller is here with me. He is a dramatist, Theater Press Workshop with Matthew Slatz, Viola Dickinson Billing, Piedmont Virginia Community College, March 11th. I just want to say something, people. We are, just to clarify, we are the spoof of the NPR show. We are the complete antithesis of what you thought.
I need to know where this is going.
Of what you thought an actual, like, podcast about local artwork is actually. We are insane. We are disorganized. We are uninformed. Well, we are. Clinton's very awesome. And he is the Elmer's glue that holds this first grade construction project together. And we appreciate him for it. Maddie's in the house, special guest. But I just wanted to throw that out here. Thank you, Clinton. And we are not what you think. Brad Stoller, hey, is in the house talking about Theater of the Oppressed.
And I want to plug the play that we're doing, producing actually two sets of plays. The first one is called Elizabeth, Almost by Chance a Woman, by Dario Fo, a complete spoof of Hamlet, done with Queen Elizabeth during Shakespearean time.
Dario Fo is a very straightforward individual, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He is not the sarcastic, satirical type. I don't buy that, sir.
Oh, really?
I don't buy that. He said sarcastically.
Anyway, it's a drag queen dresser that Queen Elizabeth has that comes in and speaks in Italian and gibberish and some English. Gets involved in there with comparing herself to Hamlet, and tons of Hamlet show up. You could go to the American Shakespeare Center and get very erudite, or you could come and see a version of a Shakespearean production seen through complete buffoonery. It's a lot of fun. That's March 21st to 24th at PVCC. 7:30 shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 2:30 show on Sunday the 24th. The show is only $5, people. You got to come down.
PVCC, community that kicks your ass. No, I just wanted to make it sound awesome.
Yeah, it sounded awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, let's...
We offer free things. We offer very cheap things. We offer very high quality art.
High quality swag that you can take home.
Yeah. No, you just take it home inside.
Nah, PVCC is awesome. Every time I go there, I have a ball. Or I get a class one way or another.
Yeah.
I'm coming back with something.
Yeah.
But Theater of the Oppressed, I'll say you've been doing it for years.
Years and years.
How do you freshen it up? How do I mean besides you know the you know the various issues that people bring into them, how do you make it new for you per se that's been doing it for years and years?
I keep including what I'm learning about. I keep including the different processes and stuff that I'm learning about through being a student of life and continuing to study.
Things, I like that.
The things that I'm studying right now are biological bases of our emotions, where they come from in the body, how they interact with our psychology, and how we have, as I've been mentioning earlier, about creating safety. That really what's going on in most of us most of the time is a way in which we're acting or interacting with our biology.
How do you do that in 2019? Because, I mean, for real, I've seen people be murdered in a movie theater. I've seen people be murdered on a stage while holding a guitar, while playing for their fans by a fan, in a place where people have called themselves, where I'm here, when I'm performing, I feel safe. Like, we live in a time where it feels like all bets are off when people get killed in the church. Like, where do you find safety? Like, and how do you ensure safety for the people that get up on that stage and perform?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I've been playing with it for a while and coming up.
And I'm not saying to challenge you or be obstinate. I'm really asking that as a question for myself, who actually thinks that the theater is a haven of security for me, and is starting to disbelieve that because of the times that we live in. So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, we can spend our time trying to create safe environments. And it's good. It's a good thing to do. But we tend to think, oh, we need to put controls on guns. We need to put controls on spaces and put more security people involved and stuff. And that is not where I go with that.
I don't think I'm saying that either because I don't think that that helps either. I don't think that putting a security guard with an AK-47 by the door necessarily ensures safety. And that's what another decides to believe that. And I don't subscribe to that belief. What I'm talking about is, how do you ensure the mindset of security? How do you ensure that? How do you create a society that lets people know that, hey, maybe we shouldn't go into a place and like blaze it open because we have the free right to. There was a guy that drove around in California executing women because he felt like he had the right to lose his virginity to them. So how do you create a world, and how do you, I'm not saying that you, Brad Stoller, create this world. I do not see you with a cape on, but that is a lovely cafe, I must say. However, how do we as artists do our part to create mindsets that allow people to be free and be safe?
By becoming aware of what those mindsets are, that it is mindsets and not outer things like guns or controls.
Or ideas of tangible products of security, of bunkers and safe houses for people that
our true security comes from the inside. So security is coming from the inside out. And if we really recognize that, then we will stop thinking that, oh, if I just stop everything from getting to me, I'll be safe. We have to find that safety inside of us. And when we recognize that and become cognizant of, oh, I'm not feeling safe, not because there's people out there, and there are people out there who might do crazy things. I'm not feeling safe because it's my own internal biology that is telling me I'm not, that things are not safe. Oh, that's not going to impact anything but me. And I actually can't do. If somebody is with a gun pointed at me, I can get a bigger gun, but that's, no, I can connect to his or her humanity.
And I can expose my vulnerability and show my humanity and how it is relative to yours.
When we connect, that's the best chance we have. And that's what theater does. That's what art does. It connects us.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, yeah, we're in the trenches, all of us here doing this art. We're in the trenches connecting to people. This is our best chance at safety.
Say I'm listening right now, and I'm like, yo, I need, I'm feeling this. I really want to get involved in this workshop, but man, I really have a problem being vulnerable and like exposing myself, getting out there and like, you know, being a goofball. And like, how Brad Stoller, will you take that out of me as an individual coming in for the first time?
I'm not going to take it out of you. I'm going to acknowledge it, and we're going to honor it. We're going to say, wow, me too. That's where the connection happens. Me too. I'm scared. It's a scary thing to open up to somebody else. And we're going to acknowledge it and just be with it and go from there and not try to cover it up.
Cool. Yeah. I mean,
I like it.
Homegrown stamp of approval.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So we got 2 minutes. What else do you want to talk about? What else is PVC bringing in? Is there anything else that you, Brad Stoller, want to share personally going on in your life?
Actually, can you jump in? Yeah, you can jump in. So what is it that you want people to take away from this workshop? Do you want them, you've been doing this for a while. Like, what is your hope? Are you fermenting revolution? Are you creating internal awareness? Like, what is it?
Yeah, great question, because it's both. Yes, I want to get internal awareness that's going on, that maybe revolution is the right thing, or maybe not right now. It's for people to find out in themselves, oh my God, I am connected now with myself and what's going on, and I'm going to do the things that make sense for me in the community, which might be joining a movement. It might be doing something with my family that needs immediate service right now, and that going out in a way and trying to be an activist is not going to serve my family. I need to come in and serve my family right now, and then I'll have the energy to do whatever it is that connects to my neighbors, that connects wherever. So people individually find out what that is.
And what is the level of your activism? Because activism is a spectrum. It's not like you can either like do it in low risk assessment or high risk assessment. Like, it doesn't matter. However you feel oppressed, this is the way to feel it out and be known.
Are you on the activism spectrum, David?
I don't know what you're talking about. Feds are listening.
We're all on the spectrum. We are all on the spectrum.
Yeah, Brad Stoller, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys,
for coming on to the show.
Thanks for doing the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for a wonderful electric conversation. You got anything, Leslie, before you go? I know you got your hands full, but
quite literally.
I have a Matthew. Yeah, Matthias.
How can you rant with a lovely soul like that?
Well, see, that's why. Like that's that. Why I. She actually found a babysitter, but I just missed him.
You know.
So I was like, no, I'm coming to get him, and he's staying with me for 3 days because
I'm kidnapping your child.
Because look, I mean, you can't.
I get it.
You can't.
I get it.
Be not. You can't not be happy.
Word
with this around.
I get it.
So right. I needed some of it.
Well, we'll let Leslie have her directing day off and be with her grandchild. Yeah. I'm gonna go home and actually I'm gonna go to the gym and then go home and then relax.
Yes, work out.
Yeah. Well, gee, thanks, Leslie. Take your fat booty to the gym and work some of that grease off.
No, you gotta catch up with your nephew. Happy birthday.
Oh yeah, for real though. Happy birthday. That was yesterday, but whatever. Nah, much love. I'm gonna see you soon. I love you, Clinton. I love you, Leslie.
I love you, David.
All right, and we're gonna be back next week. Much love to our guests, Brad Stoller, Raphael Scarfullery, and we'll see y'all later. Peace.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
All
right.
You've been listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. I want to thank you for doing that. Our opening music is by Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Right now, we're listening to more of Raphael Escoffier.
Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine Lisping law firm of Tuchterman, Overman, Munson & Burke. Legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.